Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Kurt Coy, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Administration at the Administration for Children and Families. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Tom Romeo. Kurt, discretionary grants permit the federal government to exercise judgment or discretion in selecting the applicant or recipient organization through a competitive grant process. In the last fiscal year, the agency provided substantial discretionary grants awards. Could you tell us about the agency's effort to ensure efficiency and manage or reduce risk in this area?
I sure can. Let me give you the broad picture. In round numbers, ACF awards about 7,700 grants a year. That's about 20,000 transactions when you add in all the mods and this and that to them, for a total cost of about $47 billion of grants. Of those, about 3,000 of those are discretionary grants and about 8,800 transactions worth about $7.5 billion. We have a very structured and rigid process with respect to providing discretionary grants. And it all starts with the program announcement. In the contracts world, that's called the request for proposal. By the time we get it on the street, it has been vetted by a number of folks. And the program announcement clearly indicates what you're looking for. So it's critically important that this program announcement be very clear and hopefully very crisp. In almost every case, we have panels of outside civilians, non-feds, that sit on the panels and evaluate these proposals. And we come up with a rating and ranking list based upon those evaluations. And so they're independent panels overseen by the feds. And so the panel is done. We normalize those scores across panels. And you sort of draw the line on how much money do you have for that particular program. And you draw the line, and everybody below the line is not funded, and everybody above the line is funded. Those grants that we think we're going to fund, we make sure that perhaps there's a geographic distribution that's there. You don't want to have two highly rated grant proposals right next door to each other in the same city, state. You want to try and spread this opportunities out across geographic areas. You also take a look at those grants or proposed grantees and see how they're performing. There are some grantees that are on watch lists because of audits and so on and so forth, so we take a look at it from that aspect. Once we get done with all of that, that list is then vetted through the grants officer, so the program staff puts it together. Once those two pieces come together, the program staff and the grant staff, and that list is finally established, it comes to me as the chief grants officer. I take a look at it. Then it goes to the assistant secretary. The assistant secretary looks at it. And then once the assistant secretary says, yes, check, then those grants are sent over to the department for sort of one last vetting before we actually make the grants.
Kurt, President Bush's faith-based and community initiative represents a new approach to government's role in helping those in need through its oversight and implementation of key elements of the initiative's agenda. Would you elaborate on how ACF has significantly expanded the number of faith-based communities partnering with HHS?
Well, you're hitting on all of the ACF milestones here. ACF is one of the leaders with respect to the President's faith-based and community initiative programs. And we have a whole wide variety of them, ranging from the Mentoring Children of Prisoners, which the President spoke about in his State of the Union address a couple years ago, the Healthy Marriage Initiative, the Fatherhood Initiative, the Compassion Capital Fund. And all of these programs are meant to further the President's faith-based and community initiative program. And they do it by a number of different areas. Our Compassion Capital Fund initiative, if you will, is sort of a two-part initiative. One is to set up intermediary organizations to help these grassroots faith-based and community associations apply for federal grants. And so we've been very successful in awarding grants to these intermediary organizations whose sole function is to help those organizations do just that. We also have another component of the Compassion Capital Fund. We call them mini grants, and they are $50,000 one-time grants to help a faith-based or community organization in any number of things, and we evaluate those. We started out with, in round numbers, about 52 of them, and this last year we gave out about 310. And they range from things, simple examples of, gee whiz, I really could use a new van to get folks from here to there, and that would help my faith-based and community organization do this and that. So I need $47,000 or whatever the number is to do that. I need a new computer system and printer to be able to print up flyers and so on so I can do outreach to these folks. Whatever you might imagine $50,000 might account for, people apply, and we've given out close to 1,000 of these $50,000 grants, which when you think of the federal government, they're worth billions and millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars. But $50,000 will go a long ways to help one of these organizations, and that might be just the thing that kind of kicks them over the top when it comes to that. So we're very proud of that type of situation. Our mentoring children and prisoners, as I alluded to, and what that does is it gives grants to community organizations that provide children and youth of incarcerated parents with mentors. And we're looking at these kinds of things and seeing very, very positive results when it comes to having good mentors to folks who have kids but are incarcerated. As well, the Deficit Reduction Act, or TANF, which was reauthorized last year, included about $150 million to support programs that were designed to help couples form and sustain healthy marriages. And so many of these kinds of grants with respect to that are faith-based and community-type grants. But one of the things that we try not to do is we don't discriminate one from another. What we're trying to do is make sure that faith-based organizations can apply for federal funds just like anybody else, and that's the thrust of what the president's initiative of faith-based is. And so our coalition partners include local governments, they include civic groups, they include churches, they include ethnic and immigrant groups, women's organizations, labor organizations, immigration organizations, community health providers, faith-based organizations, nonprofits, social services. And so it's a large encompassing program that we've taken a great deal of pride on its success in the last several years.
Kern, another area that your department has made progress in is improving its real property asset management and right-sizing your asset inventory. Would you talk about how your agency has contributed to the department's efforts in this area?
Well, the department has a large real property inventory. Under the leadership of the Assistant Secretary Joe Ellis, we have really come a long ways in managing this property. If you sort of think about it, we have the Indian Health Service and the Department of Health and Human Services. They have anything from hospitals to warehouses to all kinds of things. We are developing a computer-based organization that tracks leased property and owned property by the government and starting to look at how we manage this property in a much better fashion. Within ACF, we're relatively easy. So I would like to say that we contributed significantly to HHS, but we don't own any buildings. We lease our space. And so our input to real property is principally ensuring that our leases are input into the database, that our leases conform to the kinds of things that the Assistant Secretary has said we need to conform to, as well as OMB.
One of your many hats in the agency is also as the information technology portfolio lead. What are some of the key IT management challenges that ACF faces, and what has your agency done to enhance its IT capabilities to meet such challenges?
Well, probably, as I alluded to earlier, the thing that consumes most of our time in the IT world is our Grant System Center of Excellence. And we have a number of partners, as you might imagine, and managing that system has become increasingly important. As CIO, we also are looking at our IT infrastructure. And IT infrastructure is servers and email and just the business of doing things on a daily basis. ACS has joined a number of other HHS agencies in a shared service platform. It's called the Information Technology Service Center, ITSC, in the hopes of putting together those scale of services such that we're not managing all of these servers and the nuances of those kinds of things. Probably the next challenge is the Unified Financial Management System. We implemented that just this past year. There are still things that we need to get the bugs worked out of, and so that consumes time and energy and resources. Quite frankly, as you look at ACF's budget with respect to discretionary funding, we have been, for all intents and purposes, flatlined for the last several years. Well, what does that mean? We're absorbing pay raises. We're absorbing the cost of increased server costs. We're absorbing the cost of increased IT. And so you get to a point where you have to make some decisions on, while you would like to do this, what's the business case to be able to go out and get that multi-million dollar server, for example?
Kurt, just to change tracks here a little bit, with such a critical and broad mission, collaboration must be critical to your success. What kinds of partnerships are you developing now to improve operations or outcomes at ACF, and how may these partnerships change over time?
Well, to answer your last question first, they change all the time. But one of the things, and it's most interesting, having the CIO role, the CFO role, and the Chief Grants Officer role, and Deputy Assistant Secretary role, because what you're looking at is technology is allowing and the drive to improve business services and government efficiency. It has to. So it's forcing a change in the way organizational boundaries are looked at. Technology is clearly simple things like email. Used to be that you'd take a memo from here to there and you'd have a runner that would take it to the next building to the – and now you can communicate almost instantaneously. The Grant Center of Excellence that we have is probably an excellent example on how multiple agencies have decided that they have a common interest that's best served by going outside their agency. But they still need to ensure that their mission-critical services are done, and they're done preferably and hopefully at a lower cost. And so the key to working on this, and a reason this line of business is succeeding for us anyway, is that the vision has to be structured not just on ACF, but the vision has to be structured on how – what's the bigger picture. And the vision of, in reality, our Grants System Center of Excellence is to get grants out the door in a timely and cost-effective manner. It's not to get grants out the door the way ACF does it in a timely and an effective manner. And so these kinds of things become the catalyst as you're working across different agencies. But the fact of the matter is you can say technology and you can say finance and you can say all of those things, but you're never going to avoid that interpersonal relationship. Working with other senior staff across agencies, and once you create that bond of that senior staff, in fact, developing common goals and visions, they quickly become the primary agents of any transformation that you're talking about. And they redefine where those organizational boundaries really are. I would suggest that across the board, the example that we've seen with our Center of Excellence for the Grant System has been a very successful tool. It's been a very collaborative effort, and it's actually been sort of fun.
What does the future hold for the Administration for Children and Families? We will ask Kurt Coy, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Administration at the Administration for Children and Families, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.